For those of you that are visiting with us this morning, those of you that are our guests, we've been going through a series in Mark, just looking at that gospel. We're doing that the full year. We started in January, and we're only in chapter 9. We've still got ages to go. We're very, very slow here in White Inch. However, about a few weeks ago, we reached a part in Mark. We're really kind of looking at what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus, and what does that mean for our lives? And a couple of weeks ago, we reached a point in Mark 8, which is a real turning point in the gospel. It's a real kind of significant shift of what is about to happen, a significant shift in Jesus's life and in his ministry. And that was the time when the penny dropped for the disciples that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the one they had been waiting for. And Ben was speaking last week on the start of Mark 9, and he was talking about the transfiguration, that when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mountain, at that moment, his appearance changed. They saw something of the glory of Jesus, and no longer were they just seeing him in his human form. There was something that happened at the top of that mountain where they realized he really is the Messiah. And the story that we're about to read about today in Mark 9, verses 14 to 29, we're going to see what happens straight after that mountaintop experience, straight after the transfiguration. So if you have a Bible with you this morning, let's turn to Mark 9, verses 14 to 29. And if you don't have a Bible, don't worry, it is going to come up on the screen. Would anyone like to read it this morning? Don't all jump out. I'm going to pick on somebody. Simon, thank you.
I knew you were going to pick on me. Right, where shall I read it from? When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why can't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer."
Thank you, Simon. In this passage this morning, there is so much in this passage. Actually, I see that time and time again when I've been preparing for speaking about Mark, even in just a short, that's quite one of our longer passages, but a lot of our shorter passages, there is so much that God can speak through it, and there's so much that I feel God could say. And I'd really encourage you in your times of just private devotion, private reading of the word, don't just power through it so that you can get through a chapter. Just take time to chew over what God might be saying. Just in a few verses, there could be multiple layers of things of what God wants to say to you. And for some of you, you know, you sometimes read the Bible. Oh, I know I do this. Sometimes I read the Bible and I'm kind of like, oh, I know that story. But actually, I feel every time that I read it, something fresh comes out. And for some of you, as you pick up your word in this season more and more, you're going to get greater revelation in an instant of what God is saying to you. And in this passage today, there's so many different things. And what I'm going to do today is just very, very simple. It's going to be a short sermon this morning. And what I want to do is just give some observations of what I see in Mark 9. I want to talk about the main thing that I think God is speaking about. And then we're going to have some fun this morning, because I feel that this could be a significant day for many of you today in your pursuit of God. I feel that God wants to do some special things today. He wants to do some significant things today. Therefore, I'm really excited about it. And I'm going to talk a little bit about it later. But first, I just want to pray for us, because I really feel that God wants to do some significant things in this place today. And for those of you that kind of feel, well, I'm not sure, this is maybe your day. So Father, we ask that you'd come in this place right now, Father, that you would let faith increase, Father, that faith would increase all over this room today, Father, that restoration would happen, Father, that healing would happen, Father, that you'd restore hope today, Father, that, Lord, your kingdom would break out all over this place, Father, that your kingdom would come, Lord, in a greater way in this place, Father, and in our lives. Would you demonstrate who you are today, Father? We thank you for what you're going to do, and Lord, we just want to see your name honored today, Father. We declare in this place that everything bows at the name of Jesus, Father. Father, sickness, pain, Father, life's bow at the name of Jesus today. So, Father, come and show yourself to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark 9, verses 14 to 29. Jesus comes back down the mountain and he sees that there's a large crowd surrounding the disciples. And some of the teachers of the law are arguing with these disciples. Jesus comes back down from the mountain and there's a bit of chaos. There's a bit of hassle. Don't you find that sometimes happens in your life, that when you have an incredible encounter with God, when you have a mountaintop experience, that sometimes you come back down from that mountain and maybe you come back to work or you come back to life and you're just hit with hassle, you're just hit with chaos. That's kind of what seems to happen for Peter, James and John. They've had this incredible encounter with God and they come back down to just sometimes the reality of life, and there's chaos happening. And I think the reason why that happens is because, see, if we are able to take the perspective and the peace that we gain from the mountaintop experience and bring it to the valley, then I think the destiny of the valley will forever change. I think the destiny of the valley will forever change if you're able to keep the peace and the perspective that you gain on the mountaintop. And actually, there's somebody that doesn't want you to be able to keep that perspective and peace when you come back down here. That's a sermon for later on. The crowd see that Jesus is coming back down, and rather than listen to the argument, what they do is that they turn towards Jesus and they're filled with awe. There gets just excitement starts to brew. And maybe it's because his face is still shining, or maybe it's just because when Jesus is about, it's fun. When Jesus is about, stuff happens, you know, there's just a bit of excitement. And we find out kind of what's been going on, what the kind of chaos, what the arguing has been all about. And in the story, what it is that a father has brought his son who's afflicted by an evil spirit, a spirit that's sending him into fits, that's really trying to kill him in different ways by throwing him into the fire and throwing him in to the water, and he's brought his boy for some healing because he's absolutely desperate. I couldn't imagine this for the father. He must have felt so helpless because he's been watching his son the entire way through his life, just this spirit take over him. And what we see is that because Jesus is up in the mountaintop, the disciples are trying to cast out this spirit, and the disciples are not able to do anything. Nothing shifts, which is a bit strange because remember in Mark 6, which was probably February, if you can remember that far back. In Mark 6, what we see Jesus saying is that to these disciples, I give you authority to, over every unclean spirit. So actually the disciples had the authority to cast this thing out, but actually they couldn't do anything. And Jesus, gentle, meek and mild, says, "You unbelieving generation, you faithless people, how long must I put up with you?" Some really strong words from Jesus. Maybe they were directed to the crowd. Maybe they're directed to the teachers of the law. Maybe to the father. I kind of think they're directed to the disciples in this case. How long must I put up with you? And when I read about this passage, predominantly what I see Jesus coming up against is unbelief. That's what he's coming up against. Unbelief. Unbelief at an individual level with the father, corporate level with the disciples, and also a generational level with everyone that is there. Unbelief is all around. But despite that, Jesus still comes and he brings about breakthrough. This spirit that's been afflicting this boy, it's removed by Jesus. And what the disciples, I think the disciples are maybe a bit puzzled by this. They're a bit unsure. And they ask Jesus a question. They say, how could we not take this thing out? And Jesus says, this kind can only come out through prayer. And in my opinion, what Jesus is saying here, I think, is that he's highlighting again the importance of intimacy when it comes to bringing about healing for people's lives. He's highlighting again that it's all about relationship with the Father. If you want to see the kingdom break out through your life, it's not healing. It's not about techniques. It's not about formula. It's not like A plus B equals 100% of the time healing. You know, I see it a lot of the time where, you know, people say, if you just had a little bit more faith or you dealt with your unforgiveness, you would be healed. Actually, that's not true. Look at the scripture. Time and time again, there's different things that happen. And sometimes unbelief can be a roadblock, seems to be here when it comes to healing. Sometimes it is unforgiveness. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's unconfessed sin. Sometimes it's not. Jesus saying this is not about technique or formula. It's about intimacy with the Father. And here in this church, we believe that God heals today. It's not about just emotional or spiritual healing, though that is part of what salvation is about. We also believe that God heals physically as well. And for many people in here, they've been healed by God. They'll be able to give you a story of how God has healed them, but also how they've been used to heal other people. And I believe God wants to release healing today. And we're going to do that a little bit more later. There's certain things I feel that God wants to heal. However, in terms of just for us, if you want to be used in healing, just remember that it's not about technique and it's not about formula. It's not about reading a book and copying what they do in there. It's about having relationship with the Father. I'd love to talk more about healing this morning. However, I don't think that's the main thing God wants to say. And the main thing that I do think God wants to say is that he wants to increase the level of faith in this place. He wants to increase the level of faith in this place. He wants to lift some of your eyes this morning because some of you have been going through some tough things. Some of you have been going through just some tough situations, and he wants to raise the level of faith in your life. He wants to raise the level of faith in your life and also as a corporate body, that White Inch Church of Scotland would be a faithful environment, there would be a faith culture develop in this place where actually we would have an unreserved trust in the Lord, that actually we would know who he truly is. And I just believe that God has a significant plan for this church's life. We've heard it time and time again, but I just want to reiterate it again, that you, church, and White Inch have a significant part in changing this community, in changing this city, in changing this nation, and in changing the world. And for you to step into that even more, then some shifts have got to happen. And one of those things that I believe needs to happen is that the level of faith needs to increase. The level of faith needs to increase, and that this place would become known for its outrageous trust in God, that actually people would look at us and they'd see, even in the midst of them getting a battering, even in the midst of them just really struggling, they're still pressing on. They're still keeping on going. It doesn't make sense, but they have such a faith in God. And it's not because it's just the power of positive thinking. It's because we have a hope that actually God is the God of the impossible. That's the God that we have come to know. Faith in who he is and also faith in what he's going to do in this place. I really feel God wants to do some significant things in this place quicker than maybe you think. And actually for that to happen, we need to increase our faith level. For the passage today, I believe the key verses are 23 and 24. Can you stick that back up, Danny? Is that okay? Verses 23 and 24. The Father has been complaining that the disciples have not been able to do anything. And he goes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, if you can do anything, have pity on me, have pity on us and help us. And what does Jesus respond? He says, if I can, if I'm able. See, the question has never been about my ability. The question is about your ability. The question is not about my belief. The question is about your belief. He puts the responsibility for the healing, the responsibility for the miracle, not on himself, because Jesus is the perfect representation of the Father. He puts it on the Father. You see, heaven, I don't think, ever has a problem releasing things. It's about whether earth is in a place to receive it. Let me say that again because I think it's important. I don't think heaven ever has a problem releasing things. I think it's about whether earth is in a position to receive it. And what I want to do in that passage in 24, the father says, I think quite pathetically, though, he is making an effort. Help me, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. He's making, you know, he's trying, even though he maybe doesn't feel it, he's trying to step out and say, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And I want to share with you this morning, just very, very quickly, four things that I believe you can have in your life and that we can have in this place that would increase the level of faith, that actually would develop a faith atmosphere even more in this place. And these are things that I try in my life when I realize there's just some maybe unbelief there or some things that I'm finding just a bit of a struggle to believe God, to actually take him as his word says. And all these four things are probably sermons in themselves. However, these are just kind of little, quick little things to share this morning. And then I think God's going to break out. So number one, I believe the first thing to overcome unbelief and to raise faith levels is this: read and remember the word. Read and remember the word. We need to pick up God's word and we need to meditate on it day and night. Remember what he said to Joshua? I shared this last time. Meditate on this day and night, and then you will be successful. There's truth in this book that we need to just read, and we need to keep on reading until we get it, so that we know who he truly is and we know who we truly are. Romans says faith comes from hearing the word of God. In the midst of challenge and in the midst of battle, you need to know still that he is the God of the impossible, that everything is possible to him who believes. And actually, I believe that as you hold on to the simple truths that are in this word, then that's where you're going to receive your powerful breakthrough. If you hold on to the simple truths that are in this word and just stand on them, that's when your powerful breakthrough is going to come. Read and remember the word. If life is tough today, don't go running away. Pick up your word, even when it's tough. Read what it says in here. And also for some of you, you know, life is actually going pretty good. Things are going really well. However, I would say to you still, read and remember the word. Because actually, there is so much more for you. And for some of you in this season, you're about to be stretched in a way like never before. And actually, you need to know the truth of what is in the word. And actually, for you to step into the fullness of what God has for you, you need to know what's in here, because actually, it'll make it easier for you to get there. I'll just put it like that. It'll make it easier for you to get there. Read and remember the word. And that my prayer for this church is that you guys would truly know that he is the God of the impossible, not just in your hearts, but actually in your actions, that we would know he is the God of the impossible. And as a result, that's the God that we reflect in this world, where all things are possible. You want to increase faith today in your life and want to increase faith around about, in fact, any atmosphere you go in, then read and remember the word. Second thing is this: to raise faith levels individually and corporately, we must identify what is holding us back. What is holding us back? As a result of maybe disappointments with God, maybe disappointments with others, offense can creep into our hearts. Seeds of unbelief can start to grow in there if we don't identify them and we don't deal with them. Maybe you've prayed for someone for healing and nothing's happened, and you're kind of thinking, is really God a healer? Maybe you prayed for someone and you thought they were going to get healed, and actually they passed away, and you're kind of thinking, God, I don't know what happened there. I know this is hard at times because I've had to deal with this, but actually he's still the healer. Even when somebody passes away, I know it happened with my granddad, who was 69, and I think it was far too young for him to die. I actually believed that God was going to heal him, because my parents, who were not Christian, were praying for him, and I thought, God, if this is a time to break through in my family's life, then I would say maybe now is the time. Because I'm God, you know that. Because I could sometimes think I can do it better than him, which is completely not true. But actually, in that, you know, I really prayed for that to happen, and nothing happened. However, now I'm just like, I was disappointed at the time. However, I dealt with it quickly. And any time I hear of somebody that's maybe got the same condition as my granda, I kind of think, I'm going to go after this one. We're not going to lose this one. God is the healer. Or maybe there's some disappointment in your heart with maybe things about church, maybe things that have happened to you in church, or maybe things that have happened here. And as a result, it's allowed unbelief to come And, you know, maybe you hear about new things that are going to be happening. Maybe you hear about new things that are going to be starting and you just think this is just going to be the same old results where nothing's going to happen. I want to suggest to you that unbelief has come into your heart. Actually, do you need to deal with that this morning? You know, maybe go away from this morning and just examine what is in there. And if nothing's in there, then great. But is there just a little bit something that's just impacting your view of God and your view of who you are, and in fact, what he wants to do through his body? For the father in the story, he just tried to deal with his unbelief. I think it started as a process for him. And also, I'm sure the disciples would have learned a lot from this as well, where they would have had to deal with their unbelief. He wants to raise the bar of faith, and it's an individual response, but also a corporate response as well, because God wants to do something incredible. Number three, to increase your levels of faith and to maybe deal with some unbelief if you realize that it's there. I think one of the ways to avoid this is just to constantly share stories and share life with others. You know, and what I mean by this is just constantly, whenever you are together, share stories of God on the move, whether it's a church meeting like this or it's a prayer meeting or just going round for someone's for a meal. Just try and start every time by sharing testimonies of how good God is and of what God is doing in your life, because see, when you do it, it changes the atmosphere in a place. The faith level increases. You know, for anybody that's looking for a job this morning, I bet when you heard Jocelyn's testimony, actually your faith increased that actually God could bring that about. That's what testimony is supposed to bring about. So wherever you are, share testimony, share stories. Life circumstances, the enemy wants you to give up. The enemy wants you to keep on falling short. The enemy doesn't want you to push in because he's scared that if you do, then major breakthrough will come. Keep on going. There's no fancy techniques or fancy formulas. Just keep on pushing in. Keep on going. And actually, for some of you, you need to hear that in this season, just that you need to keep on going with what God is going to bring about in your life. And some of you are absolutely exhausted, some of you are absolutely tired, but the key is this: just keep on going. And actually, for the season that you're about to step into, you're going to realize that this taught you faith like never before. This morning, if you want to increase your level of faith, you want to overcome unbelief, then I think there's four key things that we can do, and it will look different for each of us. But firstly, remember and read the word. Identify what is holding you back and share stories and life with others, and also keep on going. And if you're quick to realize, then the first four letters of each of those spell out faith. which is risk. Faith is all about risk. And for White Inch, I believe for what God is calling you into, then you need to take risks. I think risk takers are the ones that are going to see this culture change and are going to see the kingdom break out. This church shouldn't be safe. This church, we should be secure in God, but actually we should be risk takers. And I believe that more and more as we do that, as we focus on the God who's the God of the impossible, then we're going to see some incredible things happen. Let me pray for us, and then I feel God wants to do something. So, yeah, Father, we just ask that you would increase faith in this place today, Father, but also you would increase faith in our lives on a daily basis, Father. We do thank you for the times, for those mountaintop experiences, but, Father, we want to learn how to keep the faith going in the valley, Lord. Keep the faith going just when we're at work, when we're at school, when we're at home. Just those levels of faith, would they continue to increase? Lord, would you just give us a greater desire for your word, Father, that we'd meditate on it day and night. That, Lord, just for those of us that need to, would you help us just to take time, even this week or even today, Father, to identify what's holding us back in our faith, in our belief in you, and maybe our belief in what you're going to bring about. Lord, would you just constantly help us to share good news stories, Father, that we'd never be people that gossip, that focus on the negative, that, Father, we would continually share stories of you on the move. And also for those of us that need stretched, Father, would you help us would you bring people into our lives that will inspire us even more, Father? For those of us that want to learn how to bring people to faith, would you send people to us, Father, or would we go ask people to show us, how do you do this thing? And Lord, would you just learn just to keep on going, Father, that we would be people who are full of perseverance even when life is tough and we don't feel it, Lord. We would just keep on going. And that there'll be a day when you reward that faithfulness.